as bad. That stuff I froze, when I defrosted it and re-cooked, or not heated it up, didn't cook it, but just got it up to about 165, reheated it, I tell you what, that stuff simmered out, and to this day is one of the best pots of chili I think I've ever made in my life.
What now?
Said I cooked a gallon. The first night it was almost too hot to eat. And then the next day, it wasn't quite as bad, but I had taken about half of it after I cooked it and froze it. And so, I don't know, a week or two, 3 months later, when I defrosted that and reheated it up, you got to heat it up to like 165, make sure, you know, nothing's gotten in it, kill anything. I said it was the best pot of chili, best thing that I think I've ever had in my life. I've tried to replicate it, and I can't.
Now you had to get some more than $8 hamburger meat.
Either that or maybe it, I don't know, seared off your taste buds in that frequency range or taste bud range or something. But, yeah, no, I think it was a combination, I think, of like double cooking it or double heating it that ended up, man, it made it more mild. And I talked to a friend of mine that's like an expert in chili, expert. And he said, oh, absolutely. They'll do it when they use a lot of jalapenos. You know, they'll throw in a little bit of just a slice or two of something to spice them, but they don't overdo it, like habaneros and stuff. No, it's like a little slice or two off of pepper. If somebody wants more, you dice it and put it on top, or you put it on the side as a slice or two, and they can just, you know, dip that pepper in there and eat it like that as a topping, basically, and you don't screw up the whole pot of chili. That's kind of a thing. But anyway, yeah, there was something that kind of cooks off on it when you double cook it, kind of like almost like refried beans, I guess, but... Anyway, you get the idea. It kind of simmers it out, and you get all that flavor, and it loses a little bit of that heat.
Yeah, Roger. Anyway. Yep, found that one of them deals. Yeah, that sounds like it. Oh, I don't know.
But you cook at home a lot, right? But you don't really like charcoal that much?
No. I have a Foreman grill, but I don't have a grill. And I make a lot of stuff. Both of those two things I named off are really easy to make. soup, of course. Cook your meat, then, take a can of drained corn, and a can of, Rotel, and a can of pinto beans, a can of, black beans, and a can of kidney beans. Put them in your slow cooker, or put it all in your crock pot, let it cook for about 4 hours, and you're done. You got to have a good meal for a couple of days.
It sounds like it. I don't mind beans. I like three kinds of beans, always better than one, I guess. My wife does not care for beans, so normally when I use them in something, I use very sparingly. Or I'll cook two batches. I'll cook a little to no bean batch and a side of beans to mix in when I do them. But no, that's a great idea. And I guess meat, you're just talking this hamburger, or do you ever take a little steak bits and chop them up or something?
Pound a hamburger and a package of, of course, taco seasoning and two packets of ranch dressing, shaker bottle of ranch dressing that I am take that out of, but anyway, that's kind of taco soup.
Just so like the dry ranch dressing mix. You know, that stuff, even if you make dressing, it's actually pretty darn good. I forgot about using that as a seasoning, but it works for that too quite well. Just don't overdo it. Absolutely. And I guess that when that congeals and all that, does it turn it kind of a little bit of a creamy color?
Roger. Anyway, that's and then that take you about a the pork or the other deal a piece of pork roast or pork loin, a couple of pounds, and a full bottle of your favorite, full 18-ounce bottle of your favorite barbecue sauce, and
like a Sprite or something. You learn something every day, Jeff. I got a new idea. I've seen guys do it, like where they even roll it, you know, take onion soup mix instead of a dry rub and just roll it over in it and put it all on it when you put it on the cooker. But, yeah, they're sitting there in all that. And I guess those sugars, probably from the root beer and caramelization and that root beer flavor, that the root part of it, man, that unique flavor level that you don't get anywhere else.
Anyway, I got a cookbook, actually one that's 5 ingredients or less, for your crock pot. One that's called crock pot duck meals.
Sounds like you got some good ideas out of it. And 5 ingredients or less, a little deceiving. You're using onion mix or ranch dressing mix, because they have a bunch of ingredients. But I mean, if you're buying it in a packet for a buck or two, you know, and you peel it open, man, that's gravy. And actually, the onion soup is probably like 50 cents. So, yeah. I tell you what, if you don't mind, if you like cooking with pork, the absolute cheapest, easiest way that I found to do it, it's a secret. But anyway, they sell a bunch of it, so it ain't that big of a secret. But I've cooked this at least a dozen times, and it's sold in a 10-pound box. But at the chef's store, they've got a pulled pork, and you buy it frozen. It's pre-smoked. You just warm it up. And one person, you'd have to leave one half of that. It comes in two packages, so it's 2 5-pound packs. You'd basically leave one frozen, defrost one, divide it, you know, refreeze the other one, like 1-pound packs, and then use what you wanted to, or three of those, and use what you wanted to cook with. But you'd have a lot of great, literally pre-smoked pork, and whatever recipe you're using in, you just heat it up in it. You know, so if you're going from raw, you put in a crock pot on high with some stuff. If you're going from half frozen, which is what I do most of the time, I let it unthaw for a little bit. You can stick it in a crock pot like early in the day, and late in the day, you've got a meal. And literally, you can serve with just barbecue sauce. People think that you spent 2 days cooking this. And somebody did, just not me. But you start adding all that other stuff, and you blow people's mind. I made some pork sandwiches one time. They're just crazy. And there's certain things that have to be cooked in the meat, but there's other stuff that you can put on as toppings. And so you leave them there as, like you said, like kind of a dry shake. And then, you know, mild and spicy and, oh, a couple other flavors of things that, you know, let people try stuff. You know, you sprinkle it on there and see what it tastes like and whatever they find. And save that and some Carolina barbecue sauce, which is actually my absolute favorite. It's made with brown sugar and mustard mainly, and you spice it as you like. People die for that stuff, but I don't make it enough, and I should.
Yeah, Roger. Anyway, that's kind of what a couple of the things I live on around here sometimes.
Try a taco soup, and I tell you what, I'll let you know how it turns out, because, I've got a friend, and she likes to make tortilla soup once in a while. The problem is, I don't know if it's the meat she used, the grease she uses cooking it. It tastes good, but, man, I like it. They don't like me. But I always look for ways that you can take a, you know, recipe and twist and get some of the grease stuff out of it. It's okay to have something a little soupy. But on that deal, if you drain all the water off your corn and set off your Rotel, so you're just using the water that's in, like, just comes in the bean cans, basically, for the water? Or do you have to add some a little here and there to keep it up to a certain level?
Well, no, you drain the corn, that's the only thing you drain. The rest of it, you just dump in the, crock pot.
My kind of cooking right there. KZ5QZ, open cans and dump it in, add your meat. Because, you know, it's one of those things, man, it's so quick and easy. You can keep this stuff for so long. And once you've cooked it, you know, and just eat all you can in an afternoon and leave a little out for dinner and put the rest in the fridge for the next day. And same thing on it. All you got to do is stick it on low on the back in the little pan thing that plugs in the wall. And by lunchtime, you got another meal out of the thing and dinner, too. Sometimes, and I ain't fair, he can't get up and go out in the middle of the night, but anyway, yeah, no, I'll try it. I'll tell you what, one time we'd done that, we were snowed in for, oh, I think we didn't leave the house for 3 or 4 days. This, we live right in the middle of town. We actually did without power for like 10, and it took a day for me to even get power back, because I, you know, temporary, called generator, because I was kind of like, oh, it's going to come back at any time, and anyway, the only problem we had with that is we're actually running two houses. My stepbrother next door, and we were on both of them off of a welder off a generator, and a couple of times it dies, they've run out of gas because people didn't mind their P's and Q's for maintenance, was when the his wife decided to start using the microwave. She just unplugged a lamp, go plug the microwave into it. Kept killing me, but anyway, we had gas living in town, so got all the gas you can use, and anyway, had a pan on there, and I started with chili one day, and I think by the end it was some kind of a goulash or something. I literally left that thing on simmer for about 3 or 4 days. We'd just eat on here and there. Come late at night, I turn it off. I let it cool down. I set it in the fridge. Come in the morning, I set it back on the grill and turn it back on, just on low and on the stovetop, and let it start warming back up. And just as you're, as it got down there a little bit, just kind of find another can or two of something or whatever else you want to throw in it, you know. Bread got kind of not so fresh after a day or two. You know, hardened up a little bit. You stick it in there, it softens right back up, you know, and then next thing you know, you're, you know, I don't know. I don't care if it's even oranges. I tell you what, we added, in the 3 days, that was an experience to see. it was like a potluck goulash dinner that started with a bowl of chili. And anyway, pretty good. Some things you tried worked, some of them didn't.
Yeah, Roger.
But my camp wagon stew, you know, that's what those guys did when they were having to go out and run cattle or something for many, many days. And, you know, they come back to a little campsite, and it's just whatever the guy could find and stick in there. And I got a, I don't know if there's a centipede or millipede crawling on my wall here. I'm going to kill this thing. Centipede. Thankfully, he's small, but I don't like them, so they tend to bite.
About that, I kind of stepped away and was getting some things put together here for real quick, and changing channels on the TV and getting things set up for. Where easily can get changed between Channel 9 and Channel 25 here in about 10 minutes and all that neat stuff.
No worries. And, yeah, I say you can go from 5 to 25 watching local stuff while you got cable. My dad has cable. He can't figure out how to make local stations work. I bought him at 10 and everything else. He can't figure out how to change inputs on his remote control, so I just let him watch whatever he wants or nothing. But anyway, yeah, funny bitey bug story, and I'll let you go. But anyway, yeah, we moved out in the country, and, you know, God, we got all sorts of critters and whatnot, stuff we never had in town. But, so I'm laying in bed one night, man, I just kept felt something crawling on me. I kept moving and kicking my legs, and kept feeling it, and it'd go away, and then all of a sudden I feel it back, and told my wife, and she's getting mad at me, because she's like, oh, it's nothing, just lay there, don't worry about it. And so I lay there for a while, I started hollering. I sat up out of bed, I ripped the cover back, threw the light on. I had this little guy, he wasn't even a half inch long. I swear to God, his chompers, his freaking, some kind of beetle, his chompers were half the size of his body hooked onto my, about up by my right hip. I sat up, and I'm like, what is that? And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, get him off. She's like, I'm not touching him. And I'm like, he's biting me. And anyway, so I got him off there, squished him. But anyway, we've found everything but save God forbid scorpions in the bed. I've stepped on one or two, but I tell you what, seems like everything out here tries to eat or eat whatever you leave laying around that could possibly be conceived as food.
Yeah, Roger, know what I'm... Right now I'm sitting here listening. I got local news on the TV. And I was listening, I started listening to Fox News at night on my, my tablet, and it just went bye-bye on me.
All right, I won't keep you, and I'll let you get back to, but you have to be the most, one of the most informed people I know watching news. Did you see where the GE, the last original company of the founding of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, was removed from the Dow today?
I heard that earlier in the day.
Qualified that. They'll be removed next week. They'll be delisted next week, but they announced it today, and I'll be dipped. I don't, it ain't a huge position, but I got a good chunk of GE stock, man. That thing has been battered up, beat up, drove down from nothing. I bought some stuff I thought on 50 cents on the dollar, and it's gone down from there. And, I worked to play with some options when they had some juice in them. So my position ain't as bad as it could have been had I not collected premium, but I'm to the point now that there ain't even no premium left because they're about to take it off the Dow. A buddy of mine says keep strong. As soon as it's delisted, they'll start divvying it up and auction off chunks of the company. It'll bring back some money, and at that point, you know, get out. But, man, I don't know. I think I should have. I told him, I said I should have sold in May. I was making money after I sold enough options against it. But now it's like, what do you do?
It's kind of funny how that works sometimes. That kind of, that's a bad deal. Or, you know, but they're, you know, I know GE stocks got down awfully low, and I guess they decided they needed to go ahead and take it off the stock exchange.
It's on the exchange, it's not on the Dow. I mean, Dow's a very small group of companies on the exchange, but yeah, total market cap fell, and I don't know, it's a weird deal, you know, and normally the market's broad market's been hammered, and normally that sends gold and silver up, and they just got crushed this week, so I don't know. I got positions in both. I may just try to load up some more on those. And I mean, the only thing that's been an absolute winner chicken dinner this year has been Ford, believe it or not. But not totally because of the underlying, but because of the options against it. And I'm milking it for premium on that, between that and the dividend. But man, it's just a weird deal. Normally, if stuff runs up or down in a long trend, you can make money on the thing. If it starts going haywire, it's just, man, it's a lot harder. When things start disconnecting from each other, because normally you'll have certain things go up, other things go down, you manage those as like a teeter-totter, you're okay. It's always the same on both sides, it's just which side's up and down. But lately, man, it's been a different deal. Netflix blew out $400 today, things up 2.5 times for the year, selling at a PE, which is like 300, which is, to put that in perspective, that means it's selling for what it can make in the next 300 years of income. I mean, that just ain't right. I don't care who you are.
Anyway, I will and get out of here, and we'll text you later there, DJ. KG5QEZ, KG5CKK73.
Yeah, send these around. I'll check a couple things tonight before I go to bed. Be back at it in the morning. So, KG5CKK, KG5QEZ73, sir. Always a pleasure. And I'm going to cook some taco soup.
Roger, roger.
WA6DKD, KK5QS, SCAR is repeater.